Apologies for that crude interruption, but this is very important. AJ, hello.
Andrew, hello. Hello, Andrew. Hello, everybody.
You lost a little bit of audio in April 2018, didn't you?
I did. I sat down with Josh Tolles, the left-handed Aussie pitcher who had been signed to the Philadelphia Phillies and was over in America pitching in the minor leagues to great effect, I might add.
It was a great interview. I heard the audio before you lost it.
Fantastic interview. Really, really good stuff. Insightful things about playing in the minor leagues and how tough it is.
But what's happened?
We found it. Woo! It's back. Yes, apologies to everyone because we did say we would be putting it out in April last year, but
the magic of technology
allows us to do this now. In the time since this interview was recorded, Josh went off and played in Venezuela and was really, really good there as well. He's now back in Melbourne playing for the Melbourne Aces in the ABL as they approach the ABL Finals Series. So apologies that it's taken this long, but it is really, really worth having a good listen to.
So let's cue that intro theme back up and listen to your awkward introduction to this April 2018 piece.
Hello, everybody. It's AJ Mithen here with a very special episode of A Sporting Discussion brought to you by our very good friends at the Australian Baseball Alumni. Now, if you want to get up to date with all the latest Australian baseball news, head to www.abpaa. Everything you need to know about who's playing overseas, who's playing college, anything you need to know, there's news, there's updates, there's all sorts of special features as well. That's www.abpaa.com. While you're there, pick up a membership and help out the alumni project. Now, our show this week features a very special guest, and it's Josh Tolles, the Australian pitcher, who has played at Adelaide, in Melbourne, in Korea, in Canada, in Japan, in the independent ball in the United States, and he recently signed with the Philadelphia Phillies on a minor league deal in February this year. Josh was kind enough to give us some time while he's out on the road playing for the Reading Fighting Phils. I hope you enjoy it. Josh Tolles, welcome. How are you travelling?
Good. Tired, but good.
Now, you just come off a pretty remarkable performance for the Reading Fighting Phils. Just talk us through that quickly before we get into the deeper stuff.
Yeah, we had a game tonight that I didn't think I was actually going to pitch in. I actually threw a little touch and feel in the ninth inning, maybe jinxed the guy that went in before me a little bit because I hadn't thrown in a few days. So got the call down to the bullpen in the ninth with loaded bases, none out, and luckily conceded one run, but got out of there with the save, and we picked up the win.
Yeah, that's great stuff. I was watching that on the game day thing. So that'd be probably your first save for the year. But let's go back to the start of things. You've joined the Philadelphia Phillies organization on a minor league deal. Why don't you tell us about how that all came about?
Out of nowhere, really. I'd never really spoke to any scouts before, and I'd signed to play in. I started off this year in Australia looking to go play in Europe because I didn't know like if I could get back into the indie ball system in the States. And then I was lucky enough to sign with the Winnipeg Goldeyes in the American Association, and I was excited to kind of go ahead with that. And then Howie Norsetter called me and said that the Phillies were going to give me a shot. And I signed in February, and I came over to spring training in March and kind of just went from there and just been in, trying to make the most of it, enjoy it all as we go.
So how was the spring training? Did that include the games at Clearwater that you did, or was that just to give you a taste of how things are over there?
No, well, so spring training, it was my first spring training experience. It's pretty much unlike anything I've ever done baseball-wise. Probably about 120 guys all in a locker room, split up into six or seven groups, and we're there at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and then we leave after a full day around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. But it's like really good facilities, really good coaching, pretty much everything you need to kind of develop and get better at baseball all in front of you. So it was a good thing for me to experience, and I was glad I was able to do it. And then from spring training, when that finished, I didn't break with a team with the Phillies, so I stayed in the extended spring training for almost 2 months, I think, before I got the call up to go pitch for Clearwater and the high A team, which is literally like 500 feet from the spring training facility. So I just walked across the field and pitched a little bit, and then four games into there, I got called up to Double A, so I've been here ever since.
What's the call up like? I've always wondered about that when you're moving up the progression. Is it as run of the mill as we see in movies and things like that, where the manager just goes, "Hey, see you later."
Yeah, definitely. Like at the end of the day, we had another day of spring training, extended spring training, and one of the pitching coordinators called me aside and said, "Head over to Clearwater tomorrow. You might be activated. We don't know. Just be there and be ready to pitch." So I did that, and then I actually got sent back to extended the next day, and then joined the team on Tuesday on their road trip. So it was a little different when I was in Clearwater. They kind of pulled me into an office and said, "Congratulations, you're going up to Reading," and that was kind of cool. You never really know what to expect when you're getting called into the coach's office, especially at this kind of level of baseball. So it's more of a relief that they're not releasing you, I guess.
Fair enough. You've been around the world, Japan, Canada, some independent ball over in the States, pitching from a crater over in Japan.
Yeah.
Is this a whole other world, even though you're just running through the minors at the moment?
Yeah. So I guess it's similar to what I was doing in indie ball, I would say, if I compare it. It's just everything's a lot nicer, I guess. The equipment we get, the uniforms we wear, the travel and everything, it's a lot nicer than kind of what I was used to doing, the facilities and all that. Especially in high A, we were lucky enough to play at all the major league spring training venues, so that's a really nice setup. And then in Double A, it's the same kind of thing. But I'd always wanted to know what it was like, and I'm glad I'm experiencing it now. At 28, as opposed to most of the other Aussies that come over here at 18, I think all those other experiences kind of helped me prepare for it all now. So it's quite a bit of fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, being on the older side of the ledger. You appreciating it more, and you understanding what you need to get done more?
Yeah, 100%. I never thought I was going to have the opportunity to be affiliated, and I kind of just kept playing because I just love playing baseball, and as long as I can put a uniform on and kind of pitch, I'll be happy, and I don't really care where it is. So to be here now, it's kind of special. I've got to kind of pinch myself every now and then, and I think I'm the oldest on this team by far, and cop a little bit for it. I get more about my height than my age, but I guess when you're playing baseball, it's tough to act your age, so we're playing a kid's game after all.
You've been copping it for your height all the way through your career, but it's still...
I'm used to it.
So take us through a typical week with the Reading Fighting Phils, Josh.
So if we're playing home, our report time is generally around 2:30 in the afternoon. I like to get there around 1:30 just to kind of eat some lunch and then get all my tissue prep and stretching and arm care in and be ready to go for our stretch and throw and conditioning time that we'll have before BP. So just basically, getting there, relax, eat, and get it all in. Game time at 7. You kind of get out of there around 3 hours, 3.5 hour games. Get home around 11:30, 12. And then sleep all day until probably 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and do it all over again. On the road, I think the longest road trip I've had is about 7 hours on the bus, but it's not too bad. I have to double up again because they treat me like a rookie, which is it's fine. I'll wear it. But bus rides are a little tougher now, being older and all that, but it's all part of it. So I just try and get as comfortable as possible, and then same kind of thing on the road. Just stay at the hotels and then get to the field, get our tissue prep and all that in, and play our game, and sleep all day and baseball all night.
Geez, that sounds pretty brutal. You'd want to have the love in your heart for a long time for the game, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot different to playing back home, obviously, where you have the kind of the four games a week, and then you kind of get the rest of the week to work, and I guess you live more of a normal life. But this is different, and I've had my girlfriend with me in Reading, and she's kind of had to settle into that routine as well. So she's normally up early in the morning, but in our house, we live with four guys in a two-bedroom house. it's no one really gets up before 10 o'clock in the morning. Jeez. So it's a bit different for that, but it is what it is, and it's enjoyable. So
the game basically finishes tomorrow, Sunday US time. You've got a 1:30 game, I think it is. So that game, you'll check out of the hotel in the morning, will you, and then just get on the bus after the game and go?
Yeah, I think we have a 10:30 bus tomorrow morning. Get to the field, hang out at the field. Obviously, yeah, pack everything up, play the game, and then we have a 6-hour drive to Akron, Ohio. So we'll leave straight after the game, probably get in around midnight or 1 a.m., and then we have the day off Monday, thankfully. So that'll be a big sleep day for me.
I was going to ask, not much sightseeing in Akron, with all respect to the good folks of Ohio,
I'm seeing a lot of new parts of America. I was when I went to college over here, I've been in the Midwest, so it's good to actually see these towns. I try and get out a little bit, but obviously sleep is really important for me, and I enjoy that quite a lot. So a lot of my time on the road is spent sleeping.
And I guess everyone else is too tired to be pranking, are they? Or
sorry, what was that?
Everyone else is too tired to be pranking while everyone's asleep, or is that just everyone's just too tired?
There's just a lot of tired people, yeah. It's especially day games, you'll see it. We'll see it tomorrow. There'll be guys half asleep when we get there, but come 1 o'clock, we'll be ready to go.
Yeah, geez, that sounds pretty full on.
But, I mean, compared to I prefer it this way with the night games. They're not bad. Last year we had predominantly 1 p.m. games. And in Japan, they like to get there really early. So I think we were there around 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning for our games. So we were leaving at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to travel that way. So I prefer it this way. I'll take this way any day of the week.
Yeah, geez. I thought Reading sounded brutal, that Japanese one just then sounded even worse.
Yeah, it's a whole different world over there.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, the professionalism must be pretty high then to be able to – I mean, you must get a lot of attention with the muscles and all of that, do you?
With the – what, sorry?
You know, getting stretches and arms in.
This has been great. I wish I kind of had this my whole career, but it's making me appreciate it a lot more now. Like, I wish – we had this at a younger level in Australia, like the whole spring training thing, and just the emphasis they put on getting you ready to perform every day and to stay on the field and be healthy is huge. And like, we have our arm care programs, our throwing stuff, like our post throwing programs, our recovery stuff. So it's just huge that like, we have our own strength coach that travels with us, our athletic trainer that travels with us, and we have coordinators that come and make sure everything's good. And it's all just kind of like everything we kind of need to play every day we have, because we play 140 games over the from when 3 or 4 months. So yeah, it's they do a good job of keeping everyone kind of healthy, and it's especially now being an older guy, I kind of need it all, and I spend a lot more time stretching than I used to, and I'm thankful for everything the Phillies have provided for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that leads me to an interesting segue. Have you had any thoughts of coaching or anything further down the line?
I don't intend on stopping playing anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. I mean, you're only 28. 28's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, as long I'm going to try and hold on to this experience as long as I can with the Phillies, and whatever happens after that, I just want to keep pitching. I don't think I'd be ready to coach yet. I think I'd get too frustrated with it and want to kind of get on the mound and do it myself. And that might change in a few years. I don't know. But I do enjoy working with younger kids. I don't know if I could do like the high school or college age kids, but we'll see. I know it's an easy thing to do once you've played, is to kind of try and move into the coaching. But I think I'll leave that side alone for a while.
Yeah, fair enough. It might have been a bit of a premature question, so I apologize.
Oh, no worries.
So what are the crowds like? What sort of environment do you get out at Reading?
We've had probably, what's the biggest crowd we've played in front of, Connor? Like 10 or 12,000, I think, something like that.
Oh, wow.
And average around 6. But yeah, it's good. I think the small, like some of the cities, just there's not a lot else to do. So they kind of like get more people there. And it makes like playing in Reading is awesome. Our home crowd's good. We've got a nice little historic stadium. It's been around for a while. So when I got there, actually, I got to walk down the kind of Wall of Fame area, and they had all photos of past teams, and I found Brad Harmon, and we're actually wearing the same number. So that was kind of cool to see that. And I messaged him right away saying that it's a good omen. So,
yeah, that's a good sign. Yeah.
Get some photos in that if you want to see kind of Reading, our first Energy Stadium. But yeah, the crowds are a lot better than I'm used to playing indie ball and playing in Japan and in the Pecos League.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. It's good that there's a lot of support around.
Yeah, especially, yeah, kind of need it. Hopefully we can get that going in the Australian League soon.
Well, yeah, that'll be ideal. Just thinking to things back here, ABL season 18-19, what have you heard about everything going on back here? There's been a few announcements of schedules and new teams and locations and all sorts of things going on this year.
Yeah, just kind of following on along with everyone else. It looks exciting. I'm glad we're expanding and doing what we're doing with the new teams, and especially adding the Korea team. I think that's going to be huge for the league. And obviously, as an Australian, we need that league to kind of be successful so we can keep developing the next wave of Australian players and perform at the national level. So I think we're moving in the right direction, and the more games we can play at any level kind of thing as a country is going to help us in the long run.
Yeah, true, especially with the 2020 Japan Olympics on the horizon. Now, what's the thinking for yourself and the ABL then, now that you're playing a full season over in Double A?
I don't know how many games I've played. I haven't thrown that many innings, especially compared to last year where I think I threw like 125 innings in Japan. And so kind of over here, I've thrown less, which is nice, but I'm just focusing on every day as it comes here and trying to get through this season and see what happens at the end of that. And then I guess whatever the Phillies say I can do, I'll go do. And hopefully I can pitch this summer. But if not, I guess kind of got to look bigger picture.
Yeah, true. Well, it looks like you're making the most of your opportunity now. Look, Josh, I want to thank you for having a chat to us for a sporting discussion and the Australian Baseball Alumni. Good luck for the rest of the year and keep in touch.
No worries. Thank you.